So I want to take you to part two of what I preached not last Sunday, but the Sunday before last. And that was again.
And again.
Some of y'all see I can preach it again, and you'll think it's a brand new message if I didn't title it the same thing. I could just preach it all over again, and you wouldn't even realize that I preached it 2 weeks ago. Huh? Again. Jonah chapter number 3, I'm going to do a quick little recap because there was a part that I didn't get to 2 weeks ago when I started on this that I want to come back and revisit again. I need to tag in with this. Amen. Jonah chapter number 3 and verse number 1 said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Anybody remember this? The second time. Amen. The second time. And that's not just twice, but really in reference to again. Came to Jonah again, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Don't say what you want to say, Jonah. You tell them what I am going to put in your mouth. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now this is after Jonah already rebelled. And let me remind you that the will of God can be circumvented by the will of men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the truth.
That's the truth. Amen. The will of God may be A, and the will of man may be B.
Yeah.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that man is going to obey A.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Huh? And so, say, oh, well, the will of God, the will of God. The will of God is in the hands of men.
Right.
The will of God is that this gospel be preached to all of Sparks, Nevada.
Right.
That's the will of God. And the will of God is that you do it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, shake your head all day long until you just end up being a bobblehead on the dashboard. But until you obey the will of God, you are circumventing the will of God.
Right.
Not so many amens now.
Amen.
But we're no less than Jonah is.
Absolutely.
Right.
Come on, we're no less than Jonah is.
Right.
Oh yeah, because the will of God was for him to go and preach to a wicked city that needed salvation, and he didn't want to do it. Just like some of us.
Amen.
Because we got our own agenda, and we got our own plan, and we got our own life, and we got our own this. And so that takes up the back seat compared to what I've got to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Well, glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
It is. So I just proved to you that the will of God can be circumvented by the will of man. Because the will of God is not your A number one priority. I know that hurts, but I'll put you back together here in a little bit. Okay? We'll do some open heart surgery, and I'll slap you back together, tie you all up, and put some healing salve on you, and you'll be all right. Amen. But you'll be all right only if you go out and do the word instead of just hear the word. Oh, this word of God is so powerful. Do you guys understand that? Do you realize how powerful the word is? If we just get a hold of it like it's intended for it to get a hold of us.
Right.
We obey it like it's intended for us to obey.
Amen.
I got a burr under my saddle. Yes, I do. I've got some people right now that are lost. And I feel so inadequate. God, what do I do? I only have so much time. I only have so much energy. I only have so much of this, so much of that. God, I'm so inadequate in everything.
I
need help. I can't do it all. I can't, but there's so many people that need to be saved. I looked even here this morning. I'm going to say this. I even looked here this morning, and I thought, how many Bible studies to people that are not here this morning have I taught? How many times have I gone over their house and called them and loved them and gave them food and did this and did that, and they're not here today? And some of you say, yeah, it's just normal. Well, what did you do to prevent that from happening? I can't do it all.
Amen.
And it's obvious I can't. And because it isn't my church, it's our church.
Amen.
And it takes more than one. It takes all of us.
Amen.
They need to hear from more than just the pastor. They need to hear from their fellow brothers and sisters, of which they got baptized by the same name that you got baptized. But how many times did you continue to disciple them?
Amen.
Man, this ain't going nowhere where I wanted to go. Yes, I'm preaching it again, though, because it needs to be preached again. I want to ask you, what's the value of one soul? It's not very much to some of us, except when it comes to your soul. All of a sudden, the value of your soul is precious, because you're going to do anything and everything to get your sorry self saved. I don't want my backside to get stuck in a trap. But I'm talking about going beyond getting my own little self saved and making sure somebody else is saved. Reaching to somebody else that is down and out. Letting them just mess up your schedule. Letting them just mess up your day. But I can't afford that. And so God can't afford to come to you. I just wonder if God couldn't come to your rescue. And he couldn't afford to take the time out for some of us when we don't take the time out for somebody else. Remember what he said. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. When you've done it to the least of these, but pastor, you know how many times they still smoking the crack and they're still doing meth and they're still, and they still need saved. And they still need somebody to love them. And they still need somebody. They still need somebody to care for them. They still need somebody to reach out for them. They still need an arm around them. They still need a word of encouragement. They may go back and do it again. And they may come back and say, man, I need to get this together. And they go back out and they do it again. And you say, see, why should I even try? Well, let me ask you, why should God even have tried on you? Why should God even given you a second and third and a fourth and a fifth chance? Tell me that. Why should God have given, why should God have given up on you? Come on, I want you to get this inside of your soul, because God's not giving up on them, because his word still said he's not willing that any. You can't change this, not even in a post-truth era. You can't change it. He's not willing that any. I don't care if it's a Satanist. I don't care if it's gay, lesbian, or bi. I don't care if it's a transgender. I don't care. It don't matter what it is. Some of y'all are getting tight on me right now. The Bible wants to. Jesus wants to save them. Jesus wants to get them out of their sin. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. He's not willing to leave them in their own lifestyle. He wants them to come out and be separate. He wants them to come out of the gang life. He wants them to come out of the drug world. He wants them to come out of all those things. He's not going to leave you in the same place and same condition that he found you. Bring you out. Lord have mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we got this deal twice, again and again and again. It comes again and again and again. I've talked about all the different times when it came to Abraham a second time, Joshua a second time, Gideon a second time, Peter and Solomon a second time, over and over, 651 times did it say again. And I'm thankful for a God of compassion and loving kindness and mercy, because that's where again comes in. Some of y'all feeling a conviction right now, and you're not feeling a lot of hope, because it's coming to you again, and God's coming to you a second time. I got a city to reach. I got a city to reach. They're lost without me. They don't have any hope without me. Your co-workers are going to hell if you don't reach them. It's your responsibility, nobody else's responsibility. They're going to be lost forever. Are you okay with that?
No.
Really, the way you need to look at it is those are all those lost sheep that don't have a shepherd. And it's your responsibility to get those lost sheep into the fold.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about from somebody else's church either.
Right.
Amen.
I just make that very clear.
Right.
No, that ain't lost sheep.
Right.
I know all the junk that they say. Well, you know, I'm just here as a hospital to help all the hurting souls. If you're really here to help hurting souls, then mind your own hospital.
Right.
Don't come over to my hospital and try to take some of my patients away from me that you want to work on.
Right.
Amen. Well, you want to save somebody, get out there and save them.
Amen.
Amen. Get out there and love them.
Amen.
He talks about precept upon precept. Anybody remember that a couple Sundays ago?
Yes,
line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Stammering lips with other tongues. Will he speak to his people? Amen. It's by the power of the Holy Ghost that he will speak to us. If you don't have the Holy Ghost today, you need it.
Yeah.
I said you need it.
Yeah. Right.
You need this Holy Ghost because you will never understand. You will never begin to comprehend the goodness and the greatness of Almighty God. And if you've had a past tense the Holy Ghost, and it's been a while since you've been filled with the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you, today's a good day to get full of it all over again. It's a good day to get full of the Holy Ghost again. Because then can you hear God speak clearly to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He told old Nick, be born again. Be born again. He told him twice. Be born again of the water and the Spirit. Be born again of the water and the Spirit. Why? Because it needs to be said over and over again.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that brings me to this place. Okay, now I'm going to preach. All that was for free.
Come on. Come on.
So now you can start the time.
Well, reset it.
Amen. John chapter number 21, the last place here in the book of John. John chapter 21, verse number 15. So when they had dined, when they ate supper, you know, my kids complain all the time, and I need to do this more often, but they complain about it all the time. When we finally sit down and we eat dinner together, they're like, wow, this hasn't happened in 30 days. They're like, woo, man, we're eating dinner together. You know why? Because so much happens at the dinner table.
Amen.
I mean, does that happen with, well, you say, well, my kids are gone. Okay, well, hey, praise the Lord, Brother Alfred and Sister Anna. I love you all very much. I know you're all the way across the other side of the continent, but I love you.
Yes.
Okay, so that was for them, because they're probably listening online right now. So, what was I saying?
Dinner table.
Oh, that's why I thought of that, because Brother Alfred. Amen. He talks about his mama and eating around the table and all those kinds of things, and that's what brought me back to Brother Alfred. So, nevertheless, I think about this, and I don't do it near enough, but at the dinner table, there's intimate conversation that goes along.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember as a kid that at the dinner table, that's where Dad took care of business.
Yeah.
And Dad started talking about family stuff around the dinner table. And so I start talking about stuff around the dinner table, and everybody splits. And then when I get up from the table, they go, you ain't got no time for us? Well, are you going to sit here and listen to me? I'm preaching to the platform right now. Jesus' name. Nevertheless, we'll get back to the scripture. I'll leave that for the dinner table. He said, so when they had dined, when they had eaten, when they had this great time of fellowship one with another, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Should be the end of the discussion, right? Should be all that needed to be said, and he should have got up and forsook those fish and went and got a Bible under his hand and went to the next door and knocked on the door and said, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what should have happened.
That's what he should have done.
Yeah, technically that's what should have happened right off the bat. Mm-hmm. But verse 16 said, he saith unto him,
again.
Okay, five of you are there. He saith unto him,
again.
Help me out now. All right. I know, here's the deal. I know some of y'all feel like you got a little paddling and your buns are still burning. Okay? I get it. I understand that sting. After a while, you know, it goes away, okay? By the time service is over, you won't even feel it. It will do good for you. Because you'll remember that. Yeah. You go, oh, something connected from my posterior to my brain, and I remember that, and I don't want to go back there. I need to go tell somebody about Jesus today.
Again.
Okay. For all of you that aren't happy, you can get happy right now, because being happy is a choice.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Amen. So yeah, that's easy for you to say. You didn't just get the whip and I did. It doesn't hurt you more than it hurts me. Believe me, it hurts me. Amen. He saith unto him again a second time. You see, I'm going to work on that until y'all get it all together today.
Amen.
Oh, man. See, if you just get it all right, we just forget it. We'll just let it go.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Yep. The only thing that's different here is instead of lambs, it's sheep. So not just the babies, but the adults. Okay. That should have been enough, right? Wrong answer. 17, he saith unto him, we could just simply say again, but the scripture said a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. Sometimes that's how we feel. He's saying this again. And for those that it doesn't apply to, you ought to be the ones that ought to be on your feet shouting and saying, hey, man, I already won that victory. I'm going to get behind this preacher because, man, it's much better to be on this side of that than on that side of that.
Amen. Amen.
If I just do this, I don't have to worry about it. Man, it feels good when he starts preaching like that. I go, yeah!
Amen.
If I'm doing it, I can just get right behind the preacher and not have to worry about it. I don't have to be a hypocrite.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Right.
Oh, that one hurt, y'all. He stabbed me there. Whew. He said, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know everything. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Let's look deeply into this. In the first two times Jesus asked the question, when he says lovest, that is in a definition, agape love. That is to say, the love that Jesus loved us with, or that sacrificial love. But the third time he says, lovest thou me, is in the Greek, phileo love. Phileo love. And that is a brotherly love, or the love of a very close friend. You know, we often say and hear it, oh, well, that's my best friend. I have friends, and then we have best friends. Now, some people say it's bestest of friends. So I guess they got more than one best friend. But when I was a kid, you could only have one best friend.
Right.
But everybody has to have that title in order to pet their ego.
Right.
Amen.
They can't just be a good friend.
Right.
They got to be the best friend. So now it's the bestest of friends.
Right.
Okay. Nevertheless, hear me out. He said, this is the type of love that goes with a best friend, where they have those feelings one for the other, that nothing is going to separate us. I remember with a friend of mine that would, I called him a childhood best friend, we cut ourselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We cut ourselves and we got blood in our hands. And we said, now, we're blood brothers. that's just dumb. But it was something about that.
Right.
that we were that close. We were going to mingle our blood together. We're that close. I'm going to go with you through thick and thin. I'm going to be by your side. Nobody's going to beat you down without me being there. And if you go down, I go down with you. But we're not going to let that happen because we're going to fight together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I'm that prehistoric. Yeah, yeah. I never thought I would say I was prehistoric, but I'm getting to feel like in this generation I'm prehistoric.
You ever feel like that, Sister Patsy?
Yeah. Oh, you did. Yeah. Now that is prehistoric. No, guys did the blood, you know. Girls do that.
Oh, you poked your finger? Oh, that's a sissy way, man.
Blood!
Girls. Hey, girls.
Little bit of blood.
No, okay, forget it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just having a little bit of fun. Okay? You understand what I'm saying, though? Yeah. That was the best friend. And so that's what Jesus was saying when he talks in his third time. He said, are we the best of friends? Are we best friends? Will you do anything for me? Will you go above and beyond? Are we the best of friends? That phileo also means being kind and affectionate, caring for one another, a real care that goes with action. Not just words. So basically, Jesus says to him, hold on a second, Peter, I'm asking you a third time if you love me and you're going to show me.
Yeah.
You're not just going to give me lip service,
right.
But you're actually going to do something.
Right.
You're going to show me that you love me.
That's good.
You're going to prove. You know, that was part of that proving was cutting yourself and being blood brothers. Yeah. That was a proof. Huh?
Right.
They have all these, they got all kinds of things. The brotherhood. I was just reading an article on a motorcycle gang, and that brotherhood is so tight. And they take it to the extreme. I mean, and they still believe in the scripture. They still believe eye for an eye.
Right.
They believe in Old Testament. They like it bloody.
Right.
But really, all of their brotherhood is really goes back into a lot of biblical analogies. You mess with my brother, you're dead. You take his eye, we're taking yours. Life for life. It's serious. It's very serious with them. There's a brotherhood that is there that goes far beyond, may I say cautiously and carefully, that goes beyond what's supposed to be, Brother Carlos, the brotherhood of the church.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because while we have a motorcycle gang that will kill for one another, we have a church that kills one another.
Oh, yep, yep, yep. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Did I just say that?
It's true.
Yeah. Did you get that little box up here with the little dots and like a poof and go?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. Some of the vilest, and then they're into all kinds of filth and garbage and junk. But they stick to closer together. They honor one another. They respect one another more than some of us do.
That's true.
Well, glory.
Help you, Lord.
Well, glory. They protect their own like none other, but we pick our own like none other.
Right.
Tick, 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 because they ain't doing this and they haven't done that and they da 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 da. Oh, yeah. I mean, some of us are just so, oh, I'm preaching now. I can feel it. It's tight, but it's right. That's what someone said. It's tight, but it's right. Oh, yeah. And then we got some of the other ones that they just go, well,
I'm just going to stay out of everything.
Whoa, glory.
And so now they're going to go be reclusive and stick their nose in a proverbial corner and act like, oh, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Everything's just fine. Everything ain't just fine.
Come on.
Right. Everything ain't just fine.
Right.
No. You're not getting up from the dinner table. You get over here and sit down. We're talking right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. You don't have something else to do, Mom. Oh man, they took Sister Newman to task the other night. She had all kinds of stuff to do, and we was eating at the table, and it was kind of a rush deal, and she had stuff to do, and she got up, and she started walking away, and they go, hey, where are you going? She goes, I got this to do, and no, you get over here and sit down. Man, ain't nothing like being told by your kids. But I'm getting to be like that now with my mom and dad saying, you start to get older and revolts start to reverse.
Right.
And all of a sudden you start listening to your kids like they were supposed to listen to you at one time. Unless you're a rebel still.
I agree.
Look, you do take those role reversals after a while. Now, some of y'all's kids maybe you probably shouldn't listen to because they're not doing right now. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Right.
Like Tara, don't subscribe. No, I'm just kidding. I knew Tara was over there going, uh-huh, Mom, you hear that? You hear that? You hear that? So I just thought I'd balance out the scale a little bit. Oh, Jesus, help us. And so let me get back to the word. I'll get back to the word. You know, I'm having more fun on the other one. You get back over here to the dinner table. And so you can go ahead and act like a recluse if you want and act like it's not going to affect you. But that really doesn't mean that it's not going to affect you, because if you're a part of this body, no matter how reclusive you are and on the fringe, so to speak, not in a negative way, but just I don't know anything. There's certain things you got to just. But to not be involved is not right.
Yeah.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Well, how's that for being told? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So Jesus was really asking him. Now I really got to get back to preaching. Jesus was really asking Peter, are you really my friend, or are you just giving me lip service? Okay? That's where we're at. You're just telling me that you love me, or do you really, really love me? This phileo, it is equally interesting to understand Peter's response in which he uses back to Jesus when he says, you know that I love you. Okay? That know that I love you, that love is phileo love. But in that sense of the word, he was just talking about being a mutual friend. Not a best friend. Not a close friend. Not an intimate friend. Got it? So he said he was giving Jesus a lip service. Said, yeah, I love you. Yeah, I love you. I love you, yeah. Sometimes I've grabbed somebody's hand and shook their hand and said, I love you. I hold on to their hand. I said, what'd you say? I said, I love you. I said, no, you didn't. He said, I didn't. That's what you said. I said, can't you look at me in the eyes and tell me you love me? Am I that ugly? Don't answer that. Huh? Oh, yeah. But if somebody can't answer you and say something kind back to you, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh? Yeah, there's something different. There's something wrong. There's something. All right? So this loving him back said, yeah, I love you. I love you. Jesus was not going to settle for a superficial, quick answer of yes, I love you. Jesus has a way of always getting to the heart of the matter.
Amen.
And how he does it often is by asking it
again.
How he does it often is saying it again. And that's why through preaching, it comes
again.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has a way of going, okay, I couldn't get him that way, so I'm going to try to get him this way. And I couldn't get him that way, so I'm going to try to get him that way. I can't get a hold of him here. So I'm going to come at it again. Why? Because God is so desperate.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about being desperate that he's just falling all over himself. But he desperately loves you.
Amen.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And he desperately wants to be loved.
Right, that's right.
You want to be fair, not to mention the beginning of this chapter. So if we go back to verse number one, and let me just tie this in so you can see a little bit more here. Verse number one, it said, in these things Jesus showed himself
again.
What?
Again.
Jesus shows himself
again.
All right? To the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise shewed he himself. This is the beginning of this lovest thou me story. That's what we got to understand. This is the beginning of the lovest thou me story. Did you get that? This is the beginning of the lovest thou me story. Jesus is coming again and showing himself again. Oh, I like this. This is good. As it goes on, the men are toiling all night. They're fishing all night. They are catching nothing. Jesus stands on the shore and he said, hey, friends, have you caught anything yet? And they said, no, we've been toiling all night. And so Jesus says, cast your net on the
right side.
What side?
Right side.
Not the left side, because that's the wrong side.
Right.
I don't know if that was just a happen chance, but it was. Can we use a little bit of play on words? You got to get on the right side of the boat if you're going to catch anything.
Right.
You got to get it right, and if you listen to Jesus, it'll always be right.
Amen.
No matter the situation.
Yep.
Amen.
And so he says, cast your nets on the right side. And they brought up a great draught of fishes and so on and so forth. Also, in another setting, it is recorded that there was a conversation that about the sensibility of this request. Are you serious? Why are we doing this? Don't you think I know, and I don't know how close they were to the shore, but it was obviously close enough for where they could talk. And I know water voices carry on water, but they had a conversation.
Right.
And I just wonder if Peter's like, whether he knew Jesus or not, he's like, really? Who's the fisherman here? I grew up on this lake. This is my lake. This is my fishing hole. I am the captain of a fishing crew and fleet. Who are you to tell me to put my net from this 12 feet over to this 12 feet?
Right.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Let's think of the power of that.
Right.
I'm over here. This boat ain't that wide.
Right.
I'm over here fishing. And you mean to tell me there ain't no fish here? Although some people get on a little dinghy. That's a boat. Small boat. And if somebody's fishing in the front of the boat, and they're catching fish at the back of the boat, they go, hey, get out of there. This is my boat. You go up front. And they go back then, they still don't catch anything. And the guy in the front starts catching fish.
Right.
Say, hey. Or you're standing on the shore, and that guy's catching fish, and there's plenty of room. Then all of a sudden, you got guys right here, and they're like, where'd you guys come from? So, well, we saw you catch your fish, so we thought the only fish were right here. No, that's not true. You know how to catch fish.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
That's usually the problem.
Yeah.
That's usually the situation. It's not that there's more fish 4 feet over.
Right.
Uh-huh. It's just that guy knows how to fish better than you do.
Right. Yeah.
He ain't holding your route right, son. Oh, your mouth is right, you catch fish every time. Huh? And so this conversation goes on. Nevertheless, Jesus, the point is Jesus shows himself again. What's he doing? He's showing himself strong. Faithful. He's showing himself again who he is, what he's capable of doing. Because Peter, believe it or not, is still suffering from his failure.
That's good.
Yeah.
Peter is still suffering from his denial. Even though just the previous chapter, Jesus comes walking through the wall and says to Thomas, here's my hands, here's my side. Go ahead, stick your fingers in them, smart aleck. Now you feel it? Okay, I'm real. Right?
Right.
That's what happened. Mm-hmm. He walks through there, they all see it, but Peter still, even though he sees, brother, and don't act like y'all don't feel like this, because I feel like this all the time.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like this all the time. God does something, and you know what? It doesn't last all that long.
Right.
Am I the only one that feels like that sometimes? God does something miraculous, and he has to come and show himself again, because it ain't too long. Life gets me down within the next 24 hours, and I'm going, God, are you sure?
Right.
Absolutely. Duh, it was 24 hours ago I did this for you, and now you want another one? Yes. Sorry. I'm just that ignorant. Huh? Right. And so that's really what's happening, is he's still suffering from his failure, even though he knows it's all cool.
Yeah. Right.
Because he's already seen Jesus. He already died, buried, and rose again. He walked through this wall. He's showing himself everywhere. All this is going on, but he still is having a difficulty forgiving himself.
Right.
There it is. He's having a difficulty forgiving himself. So God shows him again through his miraculous power. Just cast your net on the other side. And then starts to teach him and say, hey, you got to remember something, Peter. I already told you that I gave you to the keys, and I haven't taken them away.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
That's right.
That's right.
That's more than good.
Yes.
That's powerful.
Yes.
Yes.
I gave you the keys before you failed.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't take them back after you failed.
Yep.
I'm still expecting you to preach this gospel. I'm still expecting you to stand up and declare me.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
No matter what you did wrong.
Right.
Amen.
That's the problem with a lot of us here today. Is we haven't forgiven ourselves.
Amen.
Right.
And Jesus has to come back and prove himself again.
Amen.
And again. And again, because, and how many of us right now are struggling with something that we did stupid 5 years ago? Don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand. Okay? You understand what I'm talking about? How is it that you go, well, yeah, I made this mistake 7 years ago. Are you kidding me? You know how much that grieves God? I know I just got real sober real of a sudden. You know how much you're grieving the Spirit of God by going back over that thing you did 5 years ago, you did 10 years ago? You are grieving the Spirit of God.
Yeah,
right.
Moreover, what you are also doing is saying that His blood was not good enough the first time to forgive you.
Right.
Now, are you willing to say that?
No.
No.
Then stop it. Say, well, it's not that easy. It is that easy.
It is that easy.
You forgive yourself and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
I said you forgive yourself and you move on. Because he's come to you again. He loves you.
Yeah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
I said he's come to you again. Therefore, you know he loves you. He ain't giving up on you.
Right.
You say, well, I did this. Yeah, but remember the dream that he gave you, that he loves you still, and he's drawing you back. Remember that little tug in your heart when you saw this or when you heard that. Remember this and remember all of those little things.
Yeah.
So I don't want you to forget. I still love you. I still love you. I still love you. The question is, do you love me?
Right.
Not a problem with his love loving us.
Right.
Problem is him or us loving him back.
Right.
Peter says, I go fishing. He goes back to his old life, back to what he's comfortable with. And again, that's the whole reason that he went back to that, is because he was still struggling with his failure. But Jesus came again. Oh, wow. Wow. Jesus came again. And he proved himself again. And he wants to know, are you really going to be my friend? Are you really going to be my friend? Because now, Peter, it's not just about words that we have between each other. Are you getting this, Brother Miles? It's not just about prayer time that we have with one another where you're praying and you're talking to me and I'm talking to you. But I want you to do something with action. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of your words.
Yeah.
I want some action out of you. Mm-hmm. I want something to be done.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. He's saying, come on now. Come on, we've had this good relationship, and I love you, and you love me, but here's where the rubber meets the road. Prove it.
How many have ever said that before? How many have ever felt that way before where you've said, they need to prove it, they need to prove their love, but yet God can't do that to us?
We want everybody to prove everything. Oh God, help us! We want everybody to prove everything to us. But then when God says, you've given me lip service, you've told me that you love me, I want you to prove it. Mm-hmm.
And then he gives us this task. He said, prove you love me by feeding my sheep,
by nurturing them, by tending to them.
Don't just throw them an iPad and let the iPad babysit them.
Right.
Don't just throw them a candy bar and a soda and be quiet, I'm busy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to nurture them. I want you to love them. I want you to take care of them. Don't just give them garbage food. I want you to give them something nourishing.
Right.
I want you to put some time into it. I want you to put some effort into it. I want you to take some of your own time and give it to them.
Yeah. Okay, everybody see how I went full circle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm all the way back. And we're back here again. He said, feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm going to know that you love me. How I'm going to know that we're the best of friends. Best of friends, they talk about each other in other conversations with other people because there's a friendship that's vibrant and alive. Even in my texts, oftentimes I say we. And in my mind, every time I text we, I'm saying me and my wife. Because that's my best friend. And so we this and we that. And I talk about her everywhere that I go. I tell people, I say stuff about my wife all the time. You know why? Because we're best friends. Do I do that with Jesus? Do you do that with Jesus? Do we do that with Jesus? Am I putting into action with what I have as words? Do I tell everybody? I want to end with this. I know I'm way over my time, so just shut the time off. Oh, it's already off. Good. Huh? Good. Now I have no restraints.
No restraints. Oh, you restarted it?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Jeremiah 31. Such a powerful setting. Something that stirred me deeply. Said, at the same time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel. They shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword. Look at that. The people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. even Israel, when I went to cause him or make him to rest. Elder Morton came and said to me one time, he said, Brother Newman, the Bible said, he maketh me to lie down. He maketh me to lie down. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I'm starting to quote everything in my brain. He goes, no. Sometimes, if you don't lay down on your own, God's going to make you lay down.
Oh, yes, he will.
Okay.
Yes, he will.
And he will.
He will.
Mm-hmm. He will.
He will.
He'll get you to lay down.
Oh, yes, he will.
He'll get you. He'll get you in a position where you will rest. Mm-hmm. And when I'm talking about rest, he'll get you to a place where you will. You'll have a desire to pray through and get full of the Holy Ghost. Because you know that there's no contentment outside of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
There's no rest, there's no joy, there's no peace outside of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He'll get you to a place where you're miserable enough to say, I need some rest. And so those that made it through the sword found grace in the wilderness. Oh, thank God for his grace in that desert place. Found rest there. Verse 3 said, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Well, I had best friends. Well, even Brad Walter and I shared blood, and John Ickes and I shared blood. We've grown apart. It's not been an everlasting friendship. Yes, they're my friends. But our relationships and our paths of life have taken us drastically different places. There is somewhat of a friendship with Brad. No friendship with John. Unfortunately, he's backslid today. My first pastor's son. We were so close. I don't have that best friend relationship with him. It's not an everlasting love. But oh, the love of God.
Yep.
Oh, the love of God. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, not only do I love you with an everlasting love, but I love you so much that with my loving kindness, I have drawn thee. When you dissect the word loving kindness, I'm going to give it to you in this form. It means loving correction. I'm as much as I didn't like getting a whooping when I was a kid, as much as I didn't like getting in trouble when I was a kid, there's not one of them that I would take back for what it put in me. As many times as my pastor has corrected me, as a matter of fact, I texted him yesterday, I was praying for him yesterday, and I just texted him and I said, thank you for the investing of me. Thank you for investing in me. All those times of correction, they were not pleasant at the moment, but they did bring about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That loving kindness of my parents and of my pastor, oh, it's made me who I am today. But it doesn't even scratch the surface of the loving kindness of my Heavenly Father that puts up with me far beyond my parents ever dreaming, far beyond what my pastor has ever done. Oh, but the loving kindness, how he's corrected me, and that correction has been because he loves me so much. He doesn't want me to perish. He doesn't want me to fail. He wants my ultimate success. Said, therefore, that's why it says, draw me with my loving kindness, my loving correction. I am drawing you. I'm bringing you closer. I'm becoming closer and closer with you. And verse 4 said again, I will build thee and thou shalt be built. I will build thee. You may have made some mistakes. You may have had some failures. You may have done some dumb stuff. But I'm going to build you. And I'm going, and you are going to be built. He said, not only am I going to build you up, I'm going to adorn you again. Then he goes on at the end of verse number 4. He said, and thou shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. You're no longer going to hang your head in sorrow and shame, but I'm going to build you up. I'm going to adorn you. I'm going to make you look beautiful. And it's going to be time to have a party and dance. It's going to be dancing time. You may have done something, but my loving kindness, my everlasting love that continues to reach you, continues to follow after you, continues to pursue you. Oh, there's more to the benefits of his loving kindness than what we can even imagine. He said, I'm going to build you up. I'm going to make you beautiful again. I'm going to give you a dance back in your step again. Verse 5, thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mount of Samaria, and the planters shall plant and shall eat them as a common thing. Hey, there's going to be a multiplying. There's going to be some fruit that comes out of all of his loving kindness.
Come on, preacher.
Wow. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the house of the Lord, or to the Lord our God. But that's what it's talking about. There's coming a day where the watchman's going to be restored to his rightful place in your life. And you're going to have a watchman that comes and says, come on, let's go to church. Let's have revival. Let's get full of the Holy Ghost. Don't you worry about your past. Don't you worry about the things that you can't do nothing about. God's forgiven you. He's drawn you back with his loving kindness. Now come on and let's dance. Let's build up some things. Let's strengthen some things. And you see how it said there, and there shall be a day that the watchman, he said, that preacher is going to come by and take your hand and say, come on, let's go to church.
Let's go.
Ooh-wee. Arise. Let's go and let's get to right restoration of godly leadership in your life, because your life's a mess without godly leadership.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Your life is a mess without godly leadership.
Yes.
For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness, shout among the nations.
Amen.
Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people and the remnant of Israel. When we get to the house of the Lord, there's going to be some singing. There's going to be some shouting. There's going to be, come on somebody, there's going to be some singing and some shouting because of the loving kindness of the Lord. I'm saying it again. God, over and over again, I believe it's 26 times, he said that his loving kindness is coming after you every day. With his loving kindness. With his loving kindness. With his loving kindness. With his loving kindness. With his loving kindness, son. With his loving kindness. He said, come on, let's sing. Come on, let's shout.
Come on.
It's not a day of mourning, but it's a day of victory.
Right.
Anybody believe that?
Amen.
I said it's not a day of mourning. If you already repented of your sins, then you need to shake that old lie of the enemy off and say, you know what? I did ask forgiveness from 5 years ago, from 10 years ago. It's time. It's time for me to sing. It's time for me to shout. It's time for me to dance. It's time for me to be built up. It's time. As you stand to your feet, as the loving kindness of the Lord comes to you again. As the loving kindness of the Lord comes to us again. There are some in so many different places, and I understand this morning. There are each of us are individuals. Each of us are walking in different places. There's some of us that are still going over our past faults and failures. There's some that you need this for the very first time. There are some that you've lost the joy of your salvation. And you've given God lip service, but you really haven't put it into action. While there are a multitude of different things and different needs that I preached here today, and God has given me word, spoken to me several times while I preached, and said, preach it for this one, preach it for that one, preach it for this one. This is what they need. That's what this one needs. That's what this one needs. And while there are multiple needs, my God is here in this house with his loving kindness drawing each and every one of us and saying, I can take care of that need. I can take care of that one too. I can help you. You don't have to feel like a failure anymore. Why don't you just come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Oh, you're tired of this and you're tired of that. You're tired of the emotional roller coaster. Why don't you come to me and lay down that heavy load? Why don't you go ahead and really depend on my blood to wash away and to cleanse you and to make you whole? Why don't you do that? And so I come again. And I preach again. And God again will answer. And God again will listen. And God again will save you. And God again will deliver you today if you'll come again. If you'll come again. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long suffering, knowing that it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. It is the goodness of God today that leadeth us to repentance. That leads us today. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It is his goodness that's bringing us, that's compelling us. Oh God, help me. Help me in this endeavor. I'm doing what I can, Lord, to live for you. I see where I need to take this corrective measure and that corrective measure. Help me, Lord, to follow after you with all my heart. Help me, Lord, to love you as my very best friend. Never to leave you nor to forsake you like you said you would do for me, God. May it be said of me unto you that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, but I will be with you, God, because we are the best of friends. You can count on me, God. You can count on me, God, to tell of your goodness. You can count on me, God, to tell of your glory and of your power. You can count on me. We're friends. We're friends in the closest sense of the word. We're best friends, God. I'm going to go. I'm going to do. I'm going to do unto others, God, because it's as doing unto you. When I love them, I'm loving you. When I do good to them, I'm doing good to you. When I'm serving them, I'm serving you. Come on, shall we pray together? Wherever you're at this morning, whatever the situation, whatever the need today, and the multifaceted needs today here, God is here to meet. God is here to meet every need. God is here to meet every need. Will you reach out? Will you reach out today? Oh, yes.